Nibbles are for eating whenever you want to, so feast. On your tables, you should have paper and pens so that if you have any questions, you can write them down so that we're all ready to go fairly promptly at the end. Right, we're going to try and stick to the timetable. I'm going to set my clock.
Just on time too. Yes.
So over to Andy, who's talking about our DNA.
Right, excellent. There we go. There are lots of slides in this presentation, but that doesn't mean it's going to go on any longer. I'm just almost talking from the slides. So, hi everyone. These are the points that I will cover. How it all began, Mike Godward, Isaiah 60, 22. TCF's DNA, what makes us distinctive as a local church, and prophetic words and events that have led to TCF being where we are today, and words we're still looking to be fulfilled. And there are so many, I'm just picking a few that are really significant. Okay, how it began. So John discovered the meetings of a deacon's meeting in 1975 when Mike Godward was appointed the leader of TCF. It was previously a Pentecostal church, a bit sleepy, not very many people. Mike Godward was appointed in 1975, and at his first deacon's meeting, where he obviously spoke as the pastor at the time, he said this. He said, God is coming to Corringham, and his promises concerning the future are given in Isaiah 60, 22. That's really the first time this verse has been referenced in the context of TCF. And that is, the least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord, and in its time I will do this swiftly. That is kind of our verse. It's like a stick of rock. It's written all the way through us. So that's key. But the amazing thing is, since then, many prophets, many visiting speakers, completely unconnected with us, unconnected with each other, have come through, and they've said as part of their talk, we really feel God's got this verse for you. Don't know if it means anything to you, but the least become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord, and in its time I'll do this swiftly. Does that mean anything to you? Well, yes. And over the years, more and more this has happened. Culminating in when Mark Birch Machin did his first Speakers of Life prophetic workshop here in November 2016, he brought that verse again. We'd never told him anything about it, but he brought us that verse, and he says, this is for you. So, really key. I want to just talk about our DNA. You know about DNA, you've learned it at school, biology. It's generational, isn't it? You pass it down to your children, your DNA. There are subtle variations. Your children don't look exactly like you, but nevertheless, it makes us what we are as humans, as distinct from giraffes or rhinoceroses. Okay. So spiritually then, what's our DNA? What I would call this is the foundational principles that and beliefs and the practices that make TCF what it is today. It's what we were born with, it's what God has built into us since 1975, and when the church was kind of reborn under Mike Godward's leadership then. Those principles have largely stayed with us. I preached for 2 weeks on these, so I'm going to have to really race through these and not say very much about them in a second. But we've developed them. We've tried to adhere to them. Our DNA is what makes TCF what it is today. And looking forward, just as humans pass their DNA to the next generation, we hope this will pass on to the next generation of disciples and new congregations as we plant out. So, very quickly then, 1, 2, and 3, 4, it's going to be 12, 12 strands of DNA in this strange creature. The presence of God in our gatherings and in our lives. I'm not going to read out all the verses except to give the reference for the recording. So Exodus 33, 14 and 15, and that talks about how can we go unless your presence goes with us? What will distinguish us from all the nations on the face of the earth if your presence doesn't go with us? So this is the presence of God. We have to rely on that in our gatherings and in our lives. You can have this PowerPoint afterwards, by the way, so you don't have to write every word down. Number two, the worship of God. TCF has always been principally about the worship of God. And yes, through songs, through words, through creativity, but in our everyday lives, it's not a Sunday thing only. It's worship. And the John 4, 23 and 24 is talking about God seeks worshippers, doesn't it? He seeks worshippers. He looks out for worshippers. Thirdly, the kingdom of God. We're not just looking to expand church, but we want the kingdom of God to expand. The vision, the values and the power of the kingdom to come to Thurrock. The Matthew 10 verse is talking about when the disciples went out and they did signs and wonders and miracles and said, the kingdom of heaven is now among you. So our aim is to bring the kingdom there. And then the fourth one, we have these kind of heavenly identities. We are the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, and the family of God. We are these things, spiritual things. Revelation 21, 2 and 3 talks about the bride coming down from heaven, doesn't it? And we see ourselves as the bride of Christ, promoting that, ready for when the bridegroom returns. Body ministry. 1 Corinthians 14, 26 talks about that. When you come together, each one of you has a spiritual gift to contribute. Today's a little bit of an exception, but we're not someone standing at the front doing it all. We are the whole of the body ministering to the whole of the body with all the spiritual gifts that he gives us. Hearing the voice of God through his spirit in us, listening and, of course, obeying. This idea that the Spirit speaks to us intimately, day in, day out, Sunday in, Sunday out. Romans 8:14 talks about those who are sons of God. They're the ones led by the Spirit of God. And Galatians 5:16 and 25 talks about walking with the Holy Spirit. So we're not people of the book like some religions are. We are people of the Spirit of God. We listen to the Holy Spirit and we obey him. And this sort of following on to that, number seven, supernatural living. Relying on answered prayer, relying on the miraculous power of God in our lives together. Such to the point as if God doesn't turn up, then it all collapses. That's the way I want church to be. If God doesn't turn up, it all collapses. John 4:48, and again, it's talking about streams of living water coming from you. It's talking about welling up to eternal life. It's talking about miracles. Acts 2:22, God confirmed with signs and supernatural things. Attitude. This is really, really key. TCF has always been a generous church. And it's shown in our kindness to one another. It's shown in our rejection of cynical, negative thinking. We reject the world's thinking. And generosity is more than just money, but it includes financial support for the work of Christ and the relief of poverty. So 1 Corinthians 14, meeting needs, open-handedness. Number nine, the Bible is true and inspired. It's there to guide us and teach us what living with Jesus is all about. So yes, it is very much foundational to our lives. Romans 8:14, Galatians 5:16-25. And then, welcoming and accessible to all, passionate about reaching our community with Christ's love. So as a group, we don't exclude anyone. We don't say, oh no, I'm not sure you're quite good enough to join us. We don't do that. We're welcoming. We're passionate, we're accepting to all, and we go out as well to reach out to find others with Christ's love. Galatians 3:26-28, Acts 5:20. Two more. Leadership is team. Really key that. There's not one pastor like many churches have. We are a leadership team. We're all on a level. So we humbly steer the church by submitting to the Holy Spirit. He runs our meetings, he runs our decisions. Submitting to one another as leaders and to each other's areas of gifting. So if someone has a particular area of gifting, we tend to say, okay, so John, Gillian, Glenda, Andy, what's your kind of thing on this? But as a church leadership, we exercise our authority gently, not harsh, and we take our responsibilities seriously. Acts 14:23. And final bit of DNA, really important, perhaps that should be number one. God receives the glory. We're not going to post stuff on the internet saying how wonderful we are and look at what we've done and all of that. You'll never see that, because God gets the glory. We give him, we intentionally give him all the credit. Revelation 14:7 talks about giving God the glory. 1 Peter 4:11 as well. So those are our strands of DNA. Now, key prophetic words to TCF, there are so many, and I had to pick and choose here. And I just thought, the dinosaur, okay? This was 2008, Heartbeat Ministries did a prophetic weekend here, and this was one of their words. I believe the Lord is saying that there's been a small group of people that have prayed in this specific area, this room, and have never got to see the fulfillment of their prayers. But it is like underneath the spiritual ground of this place, is the place of their prayers. Prayers that were offered up for this place, it's like a well waiting for us to re-dig here and tap into the words that God gave those ladies. The picture that I saw, this prophet said, was an animation of a dinosaur. And what happened was this herd of all different kinds of dinosaurs came to what they thought was a watering hole, but it had dried up. But one of them heard the water bubbling under the ground, and he pressed his great pad down, and as he pressed, he found the source of water. The water started to rise, and it started as a small little spring, and it became like a great big pond, and all the other dinosaurs came rushing in to drink. And there was enough for everybody. I believe that through this picture, God is saying that we are going to tap into what is underneath, what is underground. It's underground, we tap in, we press in, the water springs up and the people will come and drink. It's bigger than we imagine, bigger than you imagine. People will come to drink. So get ready to widen your tent. Press into the anointing that is in this place. That which starts with a trickle will end up like a rushing fountain, like Victoria Falls, 2008. And then we had this one, Mark Birch Machin. He is wooing you. Oh, there he is, 2016, November, in the first Speakers of Life prophetic day. He is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place, free from restriction, to the comfort of your table laden with choice food. So Mark then talked about the Corringham building. To us leaders, space, expanding. There are lots of scriptures about expanding the place of your tent. Funny that, just heard that. And enlarging your territory. God is going to take you to a spacious place. The last well that was dug in Genesis 26 and 27 was Rehoboth, which means wide open spaces. There is an inheritance for you to dig, and you know what it is. And the exciting thing that follows on from the story about quarrelling is that there was a lot of quarrelling going on, and disagreement and falling out and all that sort of thing that none of us like. And then all of a sudden you dig this well, and it's wide open spaces. God was turning something around which was going really badly, and all of a sudden, boom, sorted, wide open spaces. Wells given the same names that the forefathers gave, so the promise would never change. The same names. It was Isaac that was digging them, but it was Abraham that had actually named them. It was the same names, the same promises. The promises haven't changed, which is really important to you. So the promise given at the start, they have not been revoked. They are the same things. God is going to renew them and to restore them, because those are the wells. So talking about space and everything else, which is great, there are promises and there are wells in the Corringham building where we're in today. There are lots of promises kicking around there, which is just such a vibrant, happy, open, spacious place where we are today. You can feel it, can't you? And there are promises in that place that have been sown into. Okay, there might have been a bit of quarrelling, happened in Genesis 26 and 27, but it turned out all right, didn't it? So don't be put off by a bit of quarrelling. Actually, in the Bible, it ended really well. Jacob, Israel, the tribes, multitude. Genesis 12, 1 and 2. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. So Mark says, wide open spaces, freedom, wells, promises. Let's dig up some wells, because they're all bubbling away underneath. I can almost hear the waters of life bubbling away. And following on immediately from that, Mark talked about angels. Same meeting. I came back from this, and you need to get your head around this. This is unusual, but I believe Mark. I came back from Ignited Church last Sunday from Lakeland, Florida. Remember there was a big revival there? And he said, and was to bring back some angels. I've done this quite a lot, and I give them to people and stuff breaks out. So I went into Lakeland Church, and immediately I knew that there were five angels, four of one type and one of another. I knew that these were the ones. They didn't belong to Lakeland, they were redundant. And the last thing you want is redundant angels, of course. They're sent to serve those who inherit salvation. So I went to the prophet of the house, I'm editing this, I went to the prophet of the house, who looked at me in a way that a lot of prophets do, and stuck out his finger and said, what have you come for? It wasn't like, not nice, how are you doing? Do you want a donut? It was like, what have you come here for? In a gruff way. And I'm thinking, okay, well, so I said, I've come to have some angels that I need to take from this place and go back to my own country for the outpouring that is going to happen, said Mark. They're going to facilitate the outpouring. So the prophet in Florida didn't say anything else. He just said, come and sit down. So I sat down, and he shared with me that 4 days before that, he had had a dream. And in that dream, he met a man who asked for permission to take angels back from his church to the land the man had come from, to help with the outpouring in that person's country. And Mark says, I was that man. Wow. So we prayed, and he gave me permission to take these angels away. Isn't that brilliant? So I got them. I brought them home, and there are five of them. I only got back to this country on the Monday, and I haven't even spent a weekend in my church yet. And I thought, what am I supposed to do with these angels? Andy, that'd be me, said to me, do you think they're meant for here? So I said, I haven't actually been to a place where they're meant to be yet, so, yeah. So he says, we've left them in Corringham, one in each corner. There are four angels that are stirring angels, the kind of lightweight ones. They're actually here to stir people up. In an outpouring, in a revival, people get stirred up passionately for God. I need stirring up. You need stirring up. We all need stirring up. And if we are stirred up, we need even more. There are some people we think about who've never been stirred up. And there are actually those angels, they are for them. But they're for all of us, so that we're all stirred up. The other angel is a lot bigger, and it's a breaker angel that is there to break the ground. If you think you've got a lot of water underneath, that's actually quite good. You need breakthrough, breaking of hard ground, physically or spiritually, to break through so the water can come through. A bit like that dinosaur, so the water can come through. The water table is high here, so you just need to break the ground. That angel will not break the ground until the people are stirred up. It's really important, this. There's not much point in breaking the ground where people are not stirred up. At the minute, because Mark can see in the spirit, it's very docile, quite sleepy, a little bit bored because it hasn't got much to do. However, the other ones, the other four, are mildly excited in the new job they've got. These angels are now yours. You can tell them what to do. I've abdicated all responsibility for them. Do with them what you like. And in the same way that we say, God, we welcome you, and Holy Spirit, we welcome you, we should say, welcome, angels of God. You don't worship them, but you thank them and ask them for help. So I'm coming up to my last few slides. We found out that this room, this building, was actually built on what used to be called a threshing floor. Where the local community would bring, it was a farming community, would bring all their corn, bring it here, and the threshing floor would separate, there'd be a machine here that would separate the grain from the chaff. And the Lord emphasized to us the spiritual equivalence of that. How those who were, if you like, for the Lord and his vision would be separated and sanctified from those who rejected it. We also saw how, like a threshing floor, we needed a strong, hard foundation. Threshing floors have really hard foundations on which to thresh. And the shelter of a roof. But we also saw that the sides of a threshing floor are always open, so the wind can blow through. And as a church, we need to have open sides so the Spirit of God can blow through us freely. So there's the promise again that the whole community would come together to produce grain that would bring life. People would smell out that there's fresh bread in the house, and the hungry would seek it out. And then I won't even read this one because I'm run out of time, but there's the Ezekiel 47 that Gillian mentioned, the river of life, how it starts at the sanctuary and goes and gets deeper as it gets out into the world, and when it reaches the world, it brings life. So it's a bit of a paradox. How does it get deeper? It's miraculous, but nevertheless, it brings life. And that is the key thing. That was, well, I preached on it in June 2022, but it's been successively preached on. This is very much another piece of rock theme that's written through the middle. Okay, that's me. I'm pretty much getting exactly to time. Aren't I good? Over to you, Glenda.
Yeah. I was going to come and do it now. Yeah. Thanks, Sandy.
Oh, she's just gone. Okay, since we are called...
Notice the slide in the background. This is the start of a sailing race. Everybody lines up together. Everybody starts and goes and travels together. And then we put that up there deliberately, because that's where we should be. We want everybody to be with us, and we want to all be in the same place moving forward with God. So that is why that is on there. It wasn't just random. It was put there deliberately. Okay. Right, Phil. This is Phil. He runs our Spacious Place Cafe. Thank you for all you're doing. Over to you.
Okay, thank you. So I'm Phil. I came on board back in November. My main job is to get the Spacious Place Cafe operational each day, and making sure that things are in the right place at the right time. I'm not too sure how good I am at it, but that's what I'm attempting to do anyway. First slide was to renew our vision for Spacious Place. Andy has done quite a lot on this. So you've seen the Job passage, wooing from the jaws of distress. So it was those who were suffering in distress. God wants to woo them to a spacious place, free from restriction, to the comfort of your table lined with choice food. So basically, Spacious Place is more than just the typical church cafe. It's aimed at being, I don't know, a Costa. Where I come from in Malden, we've got 5 Costas. You don't appear to have any in Coringham. So you're missing out on the prices as well, because the Costa prices for a coffee where I come from is £4.50. You don't get changed. If you want a Costa coffee and a piece of cake, you don't get changed from 12 quid these days. It's really expensive. You don't get charged that here. And of course, we feed those who are hungry free of charge. We call it food need. And if somebody turns up and looks a bit hungry, or if somebody says, oh, I've forgotten my wallet, like, don't worry. Pay next time you're here if you want. It, bless you. Have a coffee and cake on us. The next one was, God is rescuing us from an overwhelming situation. Psalm 18. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support, and he brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. So we don't only give good cups of coffee, we try to show people that God is for them, not against them. He delights in them. He doesn't try to frustrate them and get in their way. And so we've got that spacious place analogy again. We've got this idea that God wants to bless us. And we've been able to do that in one or two situations. I'll share a story or two later on. Then the next passage was, we've already had it referred to, Ezekiel 47, and the idea that the further you get, as long as you're connected to the sanctuary, and you've got that flow of Holy Spirit, water and life, as long as you're connected, then the further you get from, I don't know, the sanctuary, further you get from, I don't know, traditional church, in whatever way you define traditional church, the more life you bring. The more change you see. On the river of life, on both sides of the river, there were fruit trees which fruited every month, not once a year, 12 times a year. God is a God of provision and beauty and sweetness, and it changes the salt water when it reaches the Dead Sea. It changes the salt, dead water into living, fresh water. We're about changing lives. And then the idea, and he hasn't mentioned this one yet. Oh, he did, just the portal bit. The idea is that as Jacob was running away in some way from his family, do you remember he'd done Esau out, he negotiated Esau out of his birthright and then done Esau out of his blessing. Jacob wasn't a particularly nice chap, really, sometimes, was he? But he changed. He was then run away, went to a land far off, and he came back having seen God at work in his life. But before he came back home, he had to, in some ways, wrestle with God. And we want to see people's lives changed, but they don't know God, let alone wrestle with him. God is bigger and stronger. God could have crossed Jacob just like that, but God let Jacob hold him and then said, now it's time to let me go. And Jacob said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And so Jacob won the blessing for the promised land, however we want to interpret that. The idea is, as a church, we're not just giving some sort of social work. We're bringing people back home to God. Bringing them back to, I don't know, the threshing floor, if you want to use that analogy. And the idea is that we've got the faith to hold on to God. You've got the prayer room upstairs. We've got the sanctuary here. And we've started, one of the things we've started, because we got so busy in half term, is to put names on the order, and we're trying to collect a few names together, not so that we can write them on the computer and go against their GPRDRIT, whatever the initials are, but so that we can pray. And that, I think, is important, because if we really truly want God to be blessed, then we need volunteers to pray. Because when you're running around in circles trying to get the right coffee on the right time, I want to be more spiritual, but apparently it just takes all of my might just to, you know, get a decent hot chocolate on Peter's table. And he loves those hot chocolates when it's cold. So anyway, there we go. One of the ways you can support and volunteer, we'll look at that later, but prayer is important, because how can the community struggle with God when they don't know him? Our Splashes Place Cafe. Well, what we do when we're open, apart from some of the time we're sitting there and we are praying because nobody's in, and we're praying that the Lord will change the atmosphere, and that is important, because when people come in, yeah, they see a trendy cafe. Yeah, hopefully they pick up on the fact that we've got decent plates and decent cakes. They might even smell something cooking in the oven, who knows. But we want them to sense something of God's generosity, something of God's love and peace. For people are coming in distressed, hassled. So that is what we're trying to achieve as a Spacious Place Cafe. Some stories so far. Well, I obviously can't name names. Well, a chappie came from Hungary, and he was hungry.
And his wife, who had been going through the wars and was awaiting counselling under the victim support scheme, and they had to be swooped out of their home and stuffed into a hotel, and he hadn't got a kettle to make a cup of tea, and you would think a hotel would give a kettle, but not in the cheap ones. And his car was nicked. You know how everything piles up upon piles up upon piles up? And he was just at the end of himself. And he was quite a proud man. That made him hard for us to come. Mind you, we all tend to be a bit proud, don't we? It's hard for us to ask for help sometimes. He came desperate, in tears. He told us his story, and we were able to help him keep the hotel roof over his head until he was paid at the end of the month. We gave him a kettle so he could, and his wife is now on the victim support scheme counselling. But he's still needing help, and that broke something of the pride in him that allowed him to come and have some of his needs addressed through Kate, the food bank sort of counsellor, manager, I can't remember what she's called now, but still. She was the one, yes, she was the one that helped sort him out, and it was lovely to see him continue on the road, getting the help he needed. He was a hard-working Christian man. There was a woman sleeping in her car. A relationship had broken down, you know, as we know now, she was probably beaten. Anyway, sleeping in her car, she came in, and we were able to make sure she didn't sleep in her car. She did have something to eat. And in the end, I think the council got her to, I think it was Bishop Stortford in the end, into a refuge with her three children. Wow, that was a good outcome. One of the things about councils and state provision is it's very good on paper, but very hard to access when you need it. That's why you need people to help you. I can certainly vouch for that. When I was nursing for my wife, I thought I was a perfectly good pastor in helping people to access the help they need. But when you need it yourself, and when you're under that pressure and you're overwhelmed and you can't see what's happening, you miss out on so much help that otherwise can be yours. And so this woman is now reunited with her children in a refuge, safe. So that's another story. A typical regular customer. Somebody comes in, she's a grandma, she's bringing up her grandchild. She has done more or less since that grandchild was born, but now she's getting older. And grandma is being cut off more and more from people of her own age. And adults need to chat with adults as well as look after children and only see their friends. She comes into the cafe very regularly. She's very supportive. But what she really needs is just adult company. And then, you know, she leaves the cafe, picks up her child from school and goes back home and becomes child orientated and the excellent, surrogate mother that she's trying to be for this poor child, who's actually doing really well because of her parenting skills. And we're able to support. There's another couple come into the cafe regularly, and they're sort of neighbours, and she's my best friend, but she's now in dementia. And, you know, when you give her food after she's eaten it, she doesn't know, can't remember whether she's eaten her food or not. So we all need friends to keep us hydrated when we can't remember if we're drunk. We need friends to keep us fed when we can't remember if we're fed. She remembers the old times. We often sit and talk about her youth. And we get a conversation going. Because, you know, when you've got one special friend, it's always helpful to have a threesome and somebody else come in and interject and have new conversation. They're not going to get that at Costa's. But they get it here. We had a volunteer the other day saying to me, you know, she was relatively new, and she was from another church, and she said, I felt like I'm task-orientated. I felt like I didn't know what to do. I said, well, you were behind the counter whilst Beth and I were talking to customers. You were really helpful, because had you not been there, Beth or I would have had to have been behind the counter, and one of those people would not have been blessed with our conversation. Assuming that they were blessed by my conversation. That
is what Spacious Place is achieving at the moment. That is what's happening. And development of the vision, practical next steps. Well, one of the big things that, if you like, are practical next steps, is
I've already mentioned Beth, our apprentice, if you want to call her that, our apprentice cafe manager, if you want to call her that.
She is learning to run the cafe. She's got her own backstory. She's a fantastic person, and I'm sure you'll have opportunity to get to know her in the next weeks or months if you don't know her already. Don't forget to readjust your expectations, because God always surprises us. So don't look too surprised. She's got more tattoos than my son has. But there, she's fantastic, and God is using her and also breaking slowly into her life. Like the gentleman God is, don't go and do your sledgehammer bit, will you? God is way more gentle than we are sometimes. But God is using Beth. And who knows, in the future there may be opportunities for more apprentices. I don't know. That's not my. But that would be part of the future, developing the future vision. More people able to come and help, because I do know that some of you are willing but unable because you're at work, or you need some of the Spacious Place help that we are here to give and to share. And actually, just your coming and supporting is wonderful, and becoming part of the conversation, because there's nothing quite so scary as an empty cafe. You know, especially when you've got to walk in through the doors. They say the most important three things about cafes are location, location, and location. Now, normally you want the cafe at the front so people can see what they're walking into. You can't see Spacious Place. It's behind the stairs, for goodness sake. So we need people to welcome it, and people need to hear the conversations, the laughter. People actually need to hear that. They also need to hear music, and I'm always forever being encouraged to put music on, and I keep forgetting, or it runs out, and the TV goes on to standby. So if you don't hear a nice friendly noise, remind me, and I'll put the music on, if nothing else. But yes, just your coming and sit and have a conversation with your friends means you're becoming part of the atmosphere. And of course, if you're coming and you've got your eyes open and you're able to say the odd arrow prayer when you see situations developing, fantastic. Don't know what I've got. Longer term, longer, bigger. Bigger, deeper. Well, let's go on to that to John, because I think he'll take you bigger and deeper.
Thanks, Phil. It is exciting what God's doing in the cafe. Right, next is John. Thank you.
Got 28 slides to share with you. I have. 28. But the good news is, none of them have got any words on. It's picture time. So there you go. So I just want to talk through some of the practical stuff that we're actually talking about. Again, going back to the analogy of everybody being in a line as far as the sailing boats. You know, we don't want to assume that everybody knows what I'm going to talk about. So if you do know, well done. If you don't know, this is your time to learn and understand. So, right, which is the down?
Light thing.
Top?
No, lower. Probably lower. Okay.
It's always the other way, isn't it? So in short phrase, I'm here just to talk about the nuts and the bolts. Over the last year, God has been absolutely incredible. not only the last year, the last two or three years in particular, just pouring out money and finance and good skilled people to do things for us, and people turning up with, you know, I'll give you, you know, half price on the electricity, or I'll all the electrical stuff, or I'll do this for you free of charge, you know, because we just see that you're doing a good thing here, and although we can't give you money, we'll give you this, or we'll give you that. So it's not just the financial stuff, but God has been really, really good. And in some estates, God has given us hundreds of thousands of pounds, but we need to get our head around the practical side of things, that when we apply for a grant, we actually have to say as to what we would like that grant money, if we are successful, what we'd like to spend it on. So if we got some money for equipment in the cafe and to provide new ovens and all the really great stuff in there that we need, we can't then, we won't have our oven now. What we'll do, we'll have a new floor in here, or we'll have a new baptistry. We just can't do that as such. So in one hand, we're getting money coming in left, right and centre, but there are also some other needs as well. So I'm going to whiz through some of the nuts and bolts of today. Yep, it is working. First off, kicking off with the actual preschool. Preschool at the moment has actually got four entrances. They've got the one which is out there. They've actually got the one which is over in the admin building, and also in the morning time, the barriers are moved down, the electronic gates which no longer work, and they go in on the left hand side there. And if you were to look at it, that's from the other side. Now, we've actually got planning permission to fill in this gap here with a new reception area. We've got planning permission. We have also got £25,000 in the bank from a successful grant from the Community Environment Development Fund. But it's going to cost around about £100,000 there. But if we can get that done, then it means that there's lots of issues which will be resolved, safeguarding, etc. We won't have loads of children going in the same entrance as the cafe and so on. So that's on our agenda at the moment. Then outside the front of the admin, it doesn't show all the weeds which are growing, but we really want to tidy that up. And also that white type of goalpost thing, that's going to be repainted in the same colours as Spacious Place, and we just want to tidy that up a little bit more. The posts are a bit rusty, so that will be done in over the summer holiday. Also outside the Minor Hall, if you've walked along there, you'll see there's lots of cobwebs, and it really needs a good jet clean, if anything else, not necessarily repainting, but that needs a bit of a wash. That's a bit scruffy at the moment. Now, this is interesting. You didn't think that we were going to have a good news story part of today, but we are. On the Stanford Community Facebook page, about 3 weeks ago, there was an entry from a Daniel Wire who has just opened up his jet clean, jet wash business. He says, "Hello. My name is Dan. I run a company called Jet Clean Pressure Washing. I'm based in Corrigan, where I've lived all my life. I've seen and been inspired by locals who volunteer their time and expertise to make our town look a great place to live. With this in mind, I'd like to offer my services to Jet Clean, an area or business in Stanford or Corrigan, free of charge. Please feel free to suggest anywhere that you may think may benefit from a spruce up, and I will try and pick the most popular suggestion and clean it, etc., etc." Now, some people got this completely the wrong way around and said, replied to him, "Yes, I'd like my driveway done. I'd like my driveway done. I want my driveway done." This morning, he came back to me with a text and say, "John, I just absolutely love everything you're doing with Spacious Place and Food Bank. I'll be popping along sometime this week to work out all of the arrangements so I can come and clean all the outside of your buildings totally free of charge." That's good, isn't it? And on we go.
So also we've got the wonky path. I'm sure all of us are coming to church as if we just come from the pub a bit drunk. No, that's not right at all. Not at all. But there's been along the left-hand side, there used to be fir trees many years ago and had a bit of subsidence and all this sort. So that's one of the things we are aware of and we'd like to sort out. Inside the actual cafe, there's still some finishing off pieces to do. You might have noticed while you're having your hot chocolate there, Pete, that there's one or two blank picture frames. And at the moment, the final artwork is being produced to actually go in there, which actually is new modern stuff, and it actually draws in all the colours and all the rest of it. So just to let you know about that. Also, outside of the this overblue, there's a load of black boxes which are appearing. We're calling them food bank grab boxes because we do have quite a few people who just simply turn up at the cafe and say, I'm hungry, can you help me? I haven't eaten a decent meal for the last 3 days and all the rest of it. Now, these people who come in to the cafe, they always seem to come in when the cafe, when the actual food bank is closed. So after 3 o'clock, Phil is there scrubbing up and people will walk in. I don't know how that is, it just happens that way. And there are other times when the food bank is not open. So we're actually building up a reserve there, and on the left-hand side is where the boxes are. The right-hand side is just an emergency parcel that we will just give people with stuff. So it's not only enough food for a couple of days, but also some hygiene stuff there and some wash and some wipes and things like that. So this is the reality. We have people coming into the cafe who are living in cars, they're living in sheds, they're living in garages up the town centre. There are people out there. And so this is in one of the first steps of being in the position, ready, rather than, Glenda, can you sit with this person? And who's got the keys for food bank? And running around trying to find stuff, and we're up and we're running and we're ahead. So that's something else which is live as from this week. The main hall foyer, we just want to just brighten it up and freshen it up. Glenda and Gillian are looking at and have been working on the actual the entrance there, the boards and all the rest of it. So that's in our thoughts, that we just really want to just tidy that up a little bit. And following on from there, the actual notice boards on the right hand side, they were so out of date with the information there, we just want to tidy those up, be more welcoming. We really do see that not only the notice boards, but it's also a really important part of the actual church. This is where people come in, you know, this is where we should be providing a welcome. You know, this is almost, somebody used an analogy of a sheep dip, where sheep, if you know about sheep, they go through a dip and they actually wash and get rid of all the muck of life and all the rest of it. But there's a little bit of spiritual analogy there that, you know, when you come in to the presence of God, you know, you come in and you just get rid of all the rubbish which is in your life. So we see this area of the foyer and this area here as being a really, really important place, both practically and spiritually. So this is John Espen's corner. This came out of Warm Space, and my wife really supported me with the furniture that I managed to acquire all free of charge. I think she came out with this spiritual phrase called "tut." Why have we got "tut" in the church here? But it is quite comfortable, and it is quite popular, and for a number of reasons, a number of people do that. And we're thinking, well, hang on a minute, not necessarily we'll keep the bright baby pinky thing, but there might be an opportunity just to have some decent sofas and furnitures in there as well, as it will serve quite a lot of purposes. So we're thinking about that as well. Also, the projector and what we've had, I've talked about this before. And yes, we want to update this, and not only update it, but future-proof it so we can build onto it a bit further.
So the idea is to have a huge plasma TV screeny type thing where it's actually centred, and then that then goes along neatly and tidily into a wall-mounted box there that we can plug the actual laptop in, so we can do all of this from the front, that would be out of the way. And then eventually in time, we'll link that up with the speakers and everything in here from the television set or the screen that we'll have. And then eventually we'll extend that to go over to the back to the PA desk. So we just want to have something to start off with that we can add on to. Also the PA desk itself, we want to widen that. That's in our thoughts. We want to do that as well, so we can accompany that. Also, if we go back a few slides, I forgot to mention something, and that was, right, to the right-hand side of the boards here, there is the window there. In time, we want to develop into a little kitchen area, and to the right-hand side, a doorway not through there, so you walk straight up into the room, the prayer room, and straight back down again. Okay, I nearly finished. Very quickly. A new baptistry. We all know, if you don't know, that takes 4 years to fill up, and then it leaks, and then we had to put a heater in it, and 24 hours, and all the rest of it, and then the boards are really, really heavy, etc., etc., etc. So we want to do away with that, and we've actually bought this. It's an ice bath, but it's 7 foot long by 3 foot by 3 foot. It's currently in the garage at the moment. Very, very portable, so we can even have baptisms out in the garden, or in your front garden, anywhere, up at Corringham Town Centre, anywhere. So we can put that in there. That would go there. You can't see it, but it's got tap connections and things like that, and a cover on it. So far, far more portable and less clumsy. The floor, yes, we are aware that, you know, it's many, many years old, but we want to do something, so we are aware about it, and we want to try and do something and look for that. And also the ceiling as well. Ceiling looks as if it's stuck in the 1970s. We want to brighten that up. The only difficulty is because it's wood, we need fire protection type paint as well. So not an easy, straightforward job. And also a couple of other things. This is our old website. By the 30th of April this year, that was my target date, we'll be moving over to a new website. Which is going to look a little bit like that. So you just go straight to the home page and you just go straight to there. So much, much easier to navigate, etc. So that is, I'm working on that in my spare time, and so on. And then funding opportunities. Just want you to pray for this at the moment. If you didn't know, DP World have got £15 million to give away to various projects between Aveley and Southend Pier. And Rob Groves, who most people know from Hardy Park days, he is doing consultancy on behalf of DP World. I met with him, working through the criteria and all the rest of it, and he really likes quite a lot of what we're actually doing. So we're at the first stage, so just pray for God's blessing in that. That, you know, in the past we've been dealing with 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. We may have the opportunity for a few extra noughts on there, 90,000 and things like that, to do work. And also for apprentices to employ more apprentices and so on. And also Food Bank have actually been, as part of their Pathfinder status, they've been awarded £103,000 this year for other things. Now, in the past, the criteria, the parameters have been quite restrictive, but they are much more flexible now, and they can actually, we've looked at the criteria, and some of the things, such as employing further people in the cafe, more apprentices and equipment and things like that, then there may be opportunities for that. So just pray for you know, you don't get unless you ask God. You know, He just blessed us so much. So just talk to Dad, just talk to a father and say, a couple of opportunities here, that'd be really great if you could work those through for us. And over to Mrs. Freeman. What do you mean, shock? Do I need to put the...
No, you can do, if you want to.
Linda hasn't got any slides, have you, dear?
No, I have no slides. Mine will be fairly short, I hope. I'm talking about two areas. The first one is preschool. Just give you a brief history. The preschool was started in the 1970s by Irene Bupp, who had a vision for teaching the children about God and befriending their parents and being able to then share Jesus with them. Our manager, Alison Jones, has worked in the preschool since 1995 and became the manager in 2006. She has a good insight into children's development and needs. She's well respected in the early years education departments. She also wants the very best for every child. And I often see her, because we pray together, I often see her crying with compassion for children and parents. Also, she wants the best for each member of her staff as well, and developing them as a team. We've had 3 consecutive Ofsted ratings. That's amazing. Nobody gets that. So now today we have 2 rooms that operate every weekday from 9 till 3. The GEMS room, which is the one you pass as your way in here, that's the 2 to 3 year olds, and there's about 24 children in there. And then there's the Diamonds room, which is over here, which you pass on the way into the cafe, and that's for 3 year olds to starting infant school. Last year was a really tough year, and I shared it a few times from the front, because financially we were struggling, and there was a big staff turnover. Financially, we had fewer children than normal as a result of COVID, and we thought we were going to make a huge loss. But we thank God that that hasn't happened. Preschool does have some financial savings that they've saved during the lean years. And now, at the moment, we're in the famine years, the Joseph story. Staff turnover has been higher than usual because people have needed to seek employment elsewhere because of the cost of living, and they just can't afford preschool wages. Ours are living wage, but they're still low compared to other areas. So we have lost some staff, which has meant that other staff could keep their hours, which is good. But it does mean that Alison now covers people that are sick and does lunchtime duties, so she's not as accessible as in the past. From September, and things to pray about, we do thank God for his provision this year, because in November last year it looked awful. The numbers have also improved, which is really good. Diamond's room is full for September, and the GEMS room still got some spaces, but that's fairly common for September. They come in later in the year. Last year we had 8 children that required one-to-one support, special needs support. From September we have 13 children that need one-to-one support. And there's 2 more they're watching because they think they will need extra support as well, which is a huge number. We've got a good reputation for working with children with special needs, and we've actually had to start turning people away because we haven't got the staff and the ability to provide any more special needs help. We have the challenge and privilege to have 2 children with physical needs, 2 with cerebral palsy, and we have 13 with autism, which is a big number. We have 2 new staff, And they're fitting well. They've actually already started before September, but they're fitting in well. They love the atmosphere and they like the relationships between the other staff, which is good. We need to pray for staff retention over the coming year because there is a real shortage of qualified people in early years. Financially, in the coming year, we need to pray that it will be stable and stay on track. We need to pray for Alison as she leads the team, the staff, the parents and the children, and pray for opportunities to be involved with the parents and the carers. Occasionally, I get the opportunity to go and see one if there's a need. I can pop round and see a parent, it just depends, but we need more opportunities like that. And pray for Christians to come and work in preschool. And that's my preschool bit. The next bit I've got to talk about is safeguarding policy. Sorry, it's a bit boring, but it's essential and it's really vital. Alison Jones is the Child Protection Coordinator and I'm the Deputy Protection Coordinator responsible for TCF. We've got a safeguarding policy which was written by Alison and myself, which is due to be updated this summer. It includes things like a mission statement, roles of responsibility, recruitment procedures, concerns, allegations and disclosures, definitions of abuse of children and young people and vulnerable adults, recognising possible signs of abuse, etc. And there's lots of consent forms in there as well. If you want to see this policy, I have printed one off ready to do the update of it. On there, so please don't walk off with it. If you want a copy, I can email you a copy. Everyone working with children and young people and vulnerable adults has to be DBS checked. That's Disclosure and Barring Service, which Alison sends off the relevant information to the services. We are registered with a group called 318. And they do the checks for us and issue certificates. 318 are a Christian-based organisation who offer training, advice, and have always been really helpful when we've had queries and things. You can ring up and talk to them. Steve Chapman and Andy have just done the trustees training with them. The following people in the church are actually DBS checked. That's John Freeman, me, Andy, Judith, David Akerman, Gillian, and Phil Groves. If you want to help with the children's teaching, you do have to be DBS checked. If there are any concerns about anything, you need to approach either Alison, who's in the office 9 till 4 most days, or me or Andy. And we can direct you and inquire in the right places. This is a multi-agency service. It's not about one person. It's about covering all aspects of it. John Freeman, as the administrator and business manager, oversees the whole lot. I've got two samples of leaflets which are on that table there. One about safeguarding of children and young people, and another one about safeguarding vulnerable adults. I've only done 5 copies of each because I wasn't sure how many people would want it. If I run out, I'll print some more off. So hopefully, when we review our policy in August, we want to produce our own leaflets. But at the moment, we've just got those ones. So that's me done. So thank you very much. And now, Steve Chapman's going to talk about the financial report from the trustees. Cheer. All right.
Hiya. Nita, can you tell me what these are? Oh no, John, he's back. Can you tell me what these are? It's a piece of paper. We'll come back to that at the end. We've already heard a great deal about the structure of the church and the things that go on. And we know that the leaders provide the spiritual guidance, the encouragement, and the direction for the fellowship. But the trustees, who are the trustees? The trustees are Andy Akerman, Ricky Cranefield, and myself. And Andy's the chair, Ricky is the secretary, and I'm the treasurer. We are responsible for, we're legally responsible, and we have responsibility obviously to God, but we have a responsibility to the leadership team and to the charity commission. And our main reason for being is that we are legally responsible for how the assets of the trust are handled. So, John has already touched on this to some extent, but the money and the donations that are received are only to be used for the purpose that the donor intended. And also, some of the money and donations received become restricted. And so we have to keep track of which money in the bank account can only be used for those specific purposes for which they were given. We as a team meet 4 times a year officially, but there are many other things that go on in the background in between those meetings. But we're provided regularly with updates giving us actual income and expenditure shown alongside the budgets that we've set at the beginning of that year. And we seek, as far as we can, to provide help, encouragement, and guidance if necessary. Now, I've been asked to talk about the changes that are going to happen to the trust. Walk with me on this journey. The trust deed itself, we talked about some of the history of the church. The trust deed itself was established over 50 years ago. And now, there's nothing wrong with being over 50, okay? But there are lots of things we want to make changes to. And we are now in the process of making those changes. Where we're heading for, the destination is this, and I'm going to read this. We will become a charitable trust with a single corporate trustee, itself run by directors. I think I'm just going to say that again. We will become a charitable trust with a single corporate trustee, itself run by directors. This is much as I could talk to you about a bigger picture, but that's as much as I can say in short sequence. The eligible trustees may become directors, and the changes that are planning, there's many and many documents behind it, but the changes will slightly boost the protection given to each individual trustee. The changes, Glenda spoke about preschool, the changes will enable us to keep the status that has been earned by preschool of outstanding for those 3 consecutive visits that Ofsted have made. And also, we will become much closer to the guidance that we've received by people like Trussell Trust, who help us with, who are the UK centre for looking after all of the food banks, like the one we've got here. And so we'll become, the guidance that they've given us, we'll get closer to that guidance by having our new structure. And also the other companies, that some of which John spoke about, some of the people from whom we receive grants and support, our new paperwork and our new structure will reflect more about more of what they're expecting from us. Just, we've had quite a lot of background already. I'd just like to talk for just one moment about the CCF general account. This is part of the church that handles the finances on behalf of Food Bank, on behalf of preschool and Spacious Place, the community cafe. They deal with hall hire, paying HM Customs and Excise for the PAYE, payments to suppliers, and providing a centre of excellence for all the activities that take place in both buildings. The leaders have continued. Sorry, that is the end of what I want to say about that admin part of the church. But I also want to encourage you by saying that the leaders have continued to put aside a percentage of the income that it receives, and this money is used to bless other ministries. Now, for some numbers. It's time for numbers. Let's have some numbers. No. I should have had that on the background already. Here we go. We have what we've got here is the figures up to 31st of March 2023, and they are the church income. You can see there the total is £111,303. What I'd like to, I'm just checking the colours are the same as what I've got. What we'd like to convey is the fact that in the top right hand corner here in blue is the amount that is given in regular tithes and offerings. It's just under £30,000, and also a very important but uncoloured slither of in there for £371, which is people's offerings. Some of them are given without any gift aid, but that's a very important, those are very important givings. And then obviously the silver or grey part is to show that we've been able to get the gift aid. So from the income that's been given by the people in the membership, we then claim the gift aid on that money. So that's more income. It's like a kickstart, if you like, because of the what we've got coming in. But if we compare that to the yellow part that's at the bottom of that pie chart, that is the regular offerings that the church receives from Food Bank and from preschool. You could say that there's a sense in which it's maybe a rent or an offering, but it's referred to as really the tithe, those parts of the of our overall business contribute into the central fund. So you can see that all the other giving, right round from the brownie coloured bit, right all the way around anti-clockwise, all the way through, that's all other income. And one of the things I've been asked to stress is the fact that this shows our hefty reliance upon other income. So, and what we would like to build in the future is the amount of the tithes and offerings going forward. Expenditure. Again, this is just for the church for the moment. You can see that a huge part of the expenditure is on the cost of paying the people and for their PAYE, for their pension funds and so on. So that's a huge part of that expenditure. The burnt orange part in there, 15,000, that is called general. We've called it general, but it's really the donations that the church makes to other ministries. There's a few other things in there, like the compassion fund, which we used to call poor and needy. But that's, if you like, the church's contribution to the to other ministries outside of these premises. Now we come to a combined picture of all of the businesses, if you like, that make up TCF. So this doesn't include the church bit I've been speaking about already. This is to do with preschool and food bank and Spacious Place all combined. The income here is £577,441 up to the 31st of March for the year ending 31st of March 2023. You can see there's a massive amount of income that comes from those businesses, comes into those businesses. I will just say that the preschool is fed largely by what comes in from the children, children's parents paying for their places in the preschool, and the money we receive from the government in support of the work that's done there. Spacious Place, some of that is grants, and the food bank is the donations that we receive for keeping the contributions going there. Then we come to same parameters as I just spoke about before. So 31st of March 2023, the consolidated expenditure. This reflects the wages that are paid for the preschool, the large part of it, and food bank and Spacious Place as well. Then we come to the assets total. These are the things that the trust owns, not owned by any one individual, but by the trust. And here, just simply, the two premises that you know, this one here that forwards out onto Giffords Cross Road and the one that forwards out onto Chase Road, those two premises together are probably worth a lot more by now, but these are come from the audited figures for March 2022, because the March 2023 figures aren't ready until round about October. So there we are, £875,000 worth of buildings, over £400,000 in bank accounts, and don't forget the van, £17,000. Then we go to some, compared to everything else, some very, very small numbers, because in any business at any one time you've got bills that are due in the next 30 days. This is what this talks about, just taxation and a few other people that were due to be paid in the next 30 days when the accounts were drawn up. there are no debts for the business. They were in that wonderful position. Giving money, I'd like to talk to you about that just for a few moments. We're all encouraged by our leaders to give, and here are the ways we can give. We can give by standing order, and if you haven't registered for gift aid, then please register. John or Rachel will take you through that if you'd like to talk to them. And also, on Sundays we put out the offering bowls. If you can, we'd like you to put your gifts into the envelopes that are provided so that we can claim the gift aid on that as well. And if you want to make an offering in a different way, you could always transfer some money out of your bank account and into the CCF bank account. But remember to let Rachel know so she knows to claim the gift aid on that as well. The TCF website says there's a lot on the TCF website about how to give money. So, in closing, I'd just like to give thanks to God for all of his provision to us. And I have just one verse, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I want to thank God for the staff and managers in preschool, food bank, spacious place, and the admin team. That's an asset that really isn't shown in the balance sheet. I want to thank him for this wonderful group of believing Christians. And I want you to join with me in giving thanks to God for his wonderful provision. Oh, and John, at the beginning I said we'd come back to these numbers. These are... missing. The numbers are here. This is a list of all of the gifts, all of the grants that we've received since 2017, and the total gifts from outside the church of £441,946.52. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Steve. I'm so glad that we have people here that enjoy figures and numbers, because I loathe it. And over to Andy.
And then after that, it's questions. So if you've got any questions, jot them down before you forget them. Okay. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. So I've got a quick bit on connecting with other churches and organizations. You know, you look around Sunday and you think, kind of think we're a bit isolated, but what goes on in the week is there's far more to that. Transforming Essex is a really key network that we are. It's not a network in a formal denominational sense. It's an association of local churches who are working together within Essex to change the whole way that Essex is seen. Nationally, Essex is kind of laughed at, isn't it? You know, you got the idea of Essex woman and all of this kind of stuff. Essex is laughed at. We want to, in a sense, turn people's ideas around by showing them the love of God within Essex. So as groups of local churches, we are committed together to doing that. As part of this is, so we don't just meet together as churches, but there's these things called round tables. And what this is basically all the, for example, the children's ministries within all these Essex churches that meet together, the children's ministries themselves meet up. Because why do we all need to reinvent the wheel? You know, let's learn from each other, let's encourage one another, let's pray for one another. Let's learn what works and what doesn't work in all various churches. There's a prophetic round table. There's a church leaders round table. So the phrase round table is just a kind of a get together. You know, every now and again, we will meet up kind of once every other month to pray and discuss and prophesy over each other. There's an evangelism round table. There's an intercession round table. There's a worship round table Gillian goes to. But other than the fact it's never on. But yeah. So, if you think your ministry could benefit from that, we were even just throwing out the idea of having a church with cafes type round table. The sort of thing that maybe Phil could look into. What do we do in ministry there? So that's something there. And then Transforming Essex does regular events. Every other month on a Wednesday afternoon and evening, it does some more intensive ministry, and then there's a worship thing at Miracle Church in Wickford on a Wednesday evening, about five times a year. So just encourage you all to go to that, actually. It's really, really good. And again, it's churches getting together in unity. Then Eastgate Church in Kent, we have had so much blessing from them. They are a very big church. They're linked to Bethel. But they're very like I was saying about us being generous, they're very generous, they're open-handed. They're not trying to recruit us into their church. They're saying, we're here to bless you and to give you teaching. There's lots of hard-working church leaders, and perhaps they need to just sit there and receive for a change. So I just want to give thanks for Eastgate. Anyone is entitled to go along, though. You don't have to be a church leader. It's the second Wednesday morning of the month, pretty much monthly. So if you ever want to go, let me know, and maybe I can either take you along or at least tell you how to get there. But it's free, and I'd really recommend it. Speakers of Life, we had it actually Friday night, so it's the second Friday night of every month, and it's on Zoom, so you don't need to go anywhere. Really great prophetic input. They also do prophetic appointments, which basically means you can book up. It's about 8 months ahead at the moment, but you can book up to have half an hour, and a team of prophets that don't know you will prophesy over you and your family for half an hour. It's amazing. It really is. So obviously, I'm actually involved in these teams, but I wouldn't be the one to do it in anyone's case here, because I'd know you. The East of Thurrock Leaders Lunches, again, this is a bit closer, Corringham and Stanford. We actually met up on Friday in our cafe, and it's really good to get to know other church leaders. So I just want you to know that's what I'm doing. Judith comes along as well. And we're building bridges, we're building relationships with other churches around here, because only with them can we do it. It's a bit like when Jesus did that, you know, that whole thing of fish, and Peter's boat was sinking, and they had to call all the other boats in and say, give us a hand here, we can't do this on our own. And it's like that in this borough. We can't bring the kingdom in on our own. East Thurrock churches also do a prayer walking thing, which I think is now going to be on the third Saturday. It's only for an hour, but it's in the Corringham Stanford area, and you can prayer walk perhaps either with yourself or with someone from another church. It's actually really, really good. It's good discipline, and it accomplishes things. So I think, oh no, one more. Visiting speakers, we are so blessed to have the likes of Peter Buck come, Mark Churchward. We've had Mark Birchmachin in the past. Sorry? Alan Cass. Yeah. And others like him. We're so blessed because they just add something to us prophetically that is so good. And a challenge to all of us, actually, godly influencers. I'm grateful, Jude and I are grateful for Mark and Anita Churchward. We asked them many years ago just sort of to mentor us, to act as a sounding board, to speak to us, you know, to advise us. And they have been doing that all since about 2015, and we appreciate them. It's good for everybody. I think the other leaders should maybe consider doing the same kind of thing. It doesn't mean it's not a cry for help. It's just saying, give me a sounding board outside TCF where I can bounce ideas off, or you can pray for me, you can bring some advice from a different perspective. It's actually quite good for anybody to have that reliable Christian friend who can speak to you frankly and honestly and sharpen you. So and encouragement. Okay, that's me finished, so it's over to Gillian now.
I have this issue that I work Saturday nights and spend 8 hours standing, and then I sit down Sunday morning and then I can't get up. And on that note, if you need to, Karen just said my knees are giving out, if you need to stand a second, give yourself a wiggle, please do that. Please do that. Just anyway.
Right.